Welcome to the Commandersmiths. I held that for a while there.
You did. Well, we are the Commandersmiths.
I'm Adam Smith.
And I'm Lowry Smith.
Don't worry.
We're cousins.
This is episode 323. And what do we have in store where we just came up with it today? And what are we doing for
our episode? We are going to be doing equipment themed, underrated and or underplayed cards. I forgot what I just read. What did you have on the teaser, the thumbnail? Oh. Was that underrated?
Yeah, underrated? Well, underrated is what I had. Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
So are all yours under 20,000 EDH records?
I did. Well, once you said all yours were, I knew I had to beat that. And so all of mine are under 15,000.
Oh, good. Wait, hang on. I got to give this to Rengi first.
A wizard is never late, nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to.
And then good evening there, Ted. And then this is for, wait, you.
Oh, good for you.
Hold on. I got a better one. I have one that's under 500.
Oh, shit. Oh, you know what? I'm giving you the good for you, but then I look down at my list. All of mine are under 14,000 besides the one. Both of ours. I have one that's at night. The one that is at Staff of Titania, whatever, the T word.
Titania? Yeah.
So the funny thing.
I know, actually.
19,000. So that's what I had mine at. So here's the funny thing is, like, you do this. Even like a year ago, the decks, there's something up with, they added some more algorithms. Right.
There's something pulling more in the aggregate. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pulling in a lot more decks than there should be. So I think like a year ago, we would have been like everything under 10,000 or something like that. But now everything's doubled, and you'll find that out when we get to, Something Smith Savant, because the card that we are going to talk about has a lot of decks in it. And
I need a softball this week.
And it's Matt Heinzman.
Crushed last week.
Matt Heinzman is our stumper for this week. Yes. So yeah, you're buddy. Yeah. So that's our show for today. We got that. We got the Something Smith Savant and this might be really quick. This might be a really quick episode. Like, it just depends how much bullshit
I'm
going to
complain about a bunch of your equipment, and that'll elongate everything for a while. I want to say that I am drinking tonight.
Good for you.
For my birthday, everybody brought beer.
Yep.
And I didn't realize it until my fridge was goddamn full that on the invite, it said, "This is a beer party. Bring it."
Right. Bring stuff for Lowry.
Didn't know it until somebody's like, "It said to bring it." I was like, "What?" I should have been cracking them, sharing them, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of had kids anyway, but I didn't realize that until the end of the night. But this is one of them from a buddy that wasn't able to make it. Shay brought me, it's called Moore Brewing Company. It's Henna. And it's chocolate praline macaroon. It has coconut, cocoa nibs, and pecan imperial stout. It's 14%.
I was about to say, what's that percentage?
Yeah, it says imperial stout, but I'm fairly sure that it has syrup in it as well. It is thick oil.
That sounds like my kind of drink right there.
I couldn't share it.
Especially that 14%. I'm just drinking a Techno Viking. And it's a Berliner Weissen Sour. Weissen. You got to hit the button, man. I'm reading.
I want you to struggle enough that we can hear it.
It's a Drecker, the Fargo Brewing Company. So it's pretty good. They have it, a bunch of them here, actually. And
we have Drecker down here now?
At least my liquor store does. So I actually had a bunch of varieties. This is the cheapest one that I got. I didn't want to spend $30 for four beers. So
talk to Alex about that then.
Yeah.
He's a big Bobo, and obviously there's Quinn and Ryan.
Yeah. So I got that starting, and then I got your neck of the woods. You drank it the other day, was the Waconia Brewing. This will be my second one. The chocolate peanut butter porter. So that's going to be the one I'm going to drink next.
We'll see how that goes.
Well, yeah, I guess this episode's going to be so quick that I probably won't even get to the second one. I have a bad feeling. Whatever.
Whenever you say that, you are one for like 99 in accuracy.
Right, but the thing is like there isn't
a
like
fast episode.
I don't see how this is going to take a long time. Like it, I think. Like no offense to Matt.
Do we want to get? Oh, this is gonna.
No offense to Matt. I had to make this one hard for you to get. Like. You're gonna all that sounded all right. Really bad. I had to make this hard for you to get. Okay, anyways.
I only get hard ones.
So I had to make this one difficult. So you'll see. This one could be one of those that I made it tough enough that you don't get it for a long time. Or okay. It could be like 2 weeks ago where you got it in like 3 minutes and that was like son of a bitch. Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Can we make that a button?
That's what she said.
Did we want to talk about personal stuff at all, like
okay
the disaster that cards are for me?
Do we
want to get into the episode and then do it after?
Let's try to keep going with the new format of getting right to the topic, but then this time we actually can't forget that we got to do tags and then talk about our lives in the middle of it.
That's right. So
what we're going to do is we're switching this all up, and we've done this the last couple of weeks because we have people that come in and they're like, they want to hear what we're talking about. They want to know what the topic is. They don't want to listen to our lives. So the true listeners that like to buddies, you know, basically consider you guys buddies. You guys can stick around for the middle part and then stump the Smith Savant. So the other people, you fuckers that aren't our friends, no, I'm just kidding. We're going to get right to this.
You have the option to listen to our lives.
Yes.
But yeah, you don't have to now.
You don't have to. So we're going to get right to this damn episode. So let's get right to it. So
underrated gems, equipment. I don't know why we're starting here, but we are.
Why we're starting?
Am I going first or you? You got this?
I think I'm first this time. I think you went first last week when we did stuff. Cool. So why don't we just start off with the highest one that I talked about? I just talked about this one.
All right.
I know
it's that hard staff.
Yeah, the hard staff of titania. Titania, whatever, the T words.
It's a made up name. You're fine. Just say it with gumption.
Staff of T words. So if you don't know what this one is, we liked this when this came out. I think this was on our top 10 list.
We did. Hashtag Team Forest Walk.
I guess it kind of works a little bit there.
It absolutely works.
But when you do that, I have to
get half a mile out.
Get the fuck out. Everything's
a forest.
So this is a 2-drop equipment, and it equips for 3. Where your equipped creature gets X plus X, where X is the number of forest you control. So yes, Lowry's hashtag Team Forest Walk. But the cool thing is when this attacks, you get a 1/1 green forest dryad land creature token.
Yeah.
It is affected by summoning sickness, so you won't be able to tap it for land, but it's a creature. It's that dryad. You know, it's the forest dryad. It's the land that's also a creature. And so not only is it pumping the creature that you have, like you don't even need to be playing forest. Like you don't need to be in a green deck. It's going to get 1/+1 after that first attack. And then every attack from that point forward, it's getting bumped. And you're also giving yourself mono rocks or mono dorks in a way. So, or not in a way, you are. You're giving yourself mono dorks. I think this is really
it can
a fantastic
go in token decks, attack trigger decks. Like this made it, this could be in an Ishin deck. But like, yeah, it's not just about forests. Like if you're in a deck that needs ramp, this kind of fits perfect. The bill.
Right. And they're chump blockers too. So you have mono dorks and all that stuff. Gaea's Liege on a stick. I like that hey, thought there. But yeah, so this is only 19,000 EDH rec decks. It's been out for over about a year and like 3-4 months because Brothers War was last winter in January, February, whatever that was.
Yeah, so this is a little over a year, yeah.
So 19,000, like, you know, a year ago you'd be like, oh, that's a lot of decks for only a year. But like the thing is they've done something with the algorithms. They're pulling in more. So this is actually on the low end. This is way down the list. If you were to go to EDH rec, you have to scroll way down there to get down to this guy. And I've never seen anybody play this. So personally, I'm like, I mean, probably you, other playgroups might have it.
Hashtag Team Forcewalk deck.
Yeah, and I don't play that against you, that deck.
Get the fuck out!
So yeah, this is my highest deck count one, and I just need to play it more. You know, I kind of forget about it.
Right.
I have it. I haven't made a proxy of it. It's not that expensive. It's only $1.50, which is crazy because I thought this one would be really expensive. But yeah, it's only $1.50.
Funny thing is this style of segment is just like a reminder to, oh, I should play this card more.
Right, exactly.
If I'm not playing it already, right. But it's definitely that happens. Like, oh yeah, I fucking love that card.
I think what ends up happening too is like, especially with us when we build the decks, like this is a good card to go in anything really. Like you said, tokens right. and stuff like that. But we get so into the theme of what the deck is doing that unless this fits with what the deck is doing, that's why I don't even consider it, you know, or it doesn't even get on my radar. So I think that's my problem. But like you said, seeing it, I'm like, oh, this could go in this deck. This could go in this deck. It could go in this deck. Yeah. So any tokens, I like that idea too, because if you get the token doublers and everything. So,
right.
All right.
Right.
So we each have five. I guess we didn't say that in the beginning.
This is fave five style. There is no real order.
We don't know each other's except for the ones that were on the thumbnails.
Right, right. So
speaking of, what was your thumbnail one again?
My thumbnail one was Glimmer Lens. One in a white to come down and one in a white to equip, I believe. Yep. And then when it comes into play, it does create a 2/2 rebel, red rebel that is attached to it. And then whenever equipped creature and at least one other creature attacks, draw a card. Again, this card is great for the like Ishin, like the double trigger of the double attack trigger of drawing. Mono white is just going to want this all the time because it's just straight up card draw for them. It's cheap. It creates a creature.
Yeah, that's like, the thing.
It does a lot for two
immediately
mana.
Immediately brings, you don't have to worry about the equipping it. You're tapping the two.
Right.
Comes in and it's a creature, you know, the creature, and this is attached to it. As long as your next turn you're able to attack and attack with something else, you're drawing off of it. Yeah, I like this one a lot. Again,
so it's been in, like, I like it in Rafine in my deck. This one is in multiple of my decks. So like Rafine, even though that's drawing, you're never really getting card advantage. Mm-hmm. And so this allows you to kind of get ahead. You see a ton of cards with the conniving and drawing and discarding and stuff like that, but you also, if you're down to one card in your hand, you only have one card in the hand no matter what. And so being able to get a second one in your hand off of an attack trigger helps you there. But the card's been great. I love it. And it is in only 14,542 decks. And I suggest that it should be way higher. Is this saying that it's only 25 cents on TCG?
Yes. Yeah,
fucking go buy this. Go get it.
And actually, the full art, the Flart one, is only 44 cents. So right.
Get that. This check was that out. In the Commander deck. I don't believe it has a foil version of it.
Yeah, probably
so
not.
So splurge on that full art. And I think in the long run, cents. I think generally for me, these are also specs, not necessarily specs, but ones that have a lot of potential to go up.
Right.
And I think this one has plenty of potential there.
Yep. I dig that. All right. I'm going to work my way down and just go from my highest amount of decks down to the lowest. There's no way we're going to have intermingling ones, I don't think. But no. This next one is...
Well, your first one, Staff, was my number six.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, so...
The next one for me is Anduril Narsil Reforged. Narsil? I don't know. It's Lord of the Rings, but I still don't.
You know? I thought you listened to the tapes. You hear them say stuff, right?
Yeah, but I can't, you know, I don't put two and two together. You pointed that out the other day when, what was it? It wasn't Gimli. It was, Balin. And I think I said Balin. And you're like, dude, Balin's like in the movies. And right. Everything's like... Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I was just reading words. I wasn't putting it together. Anyway, so this is a two-drop equipment. It has Ascend, so if you have 10 or more permanents, you get the City's Blessing, which is super easy to do in Commander. Like, that's one of the easiest things to get in the game. But the thing is if it, let me put this out. It's a equip 3, so it has a little bit. It's a little bit higher of an equip cost, but it's only a two-drop, so that's nice. But when equipped creature taps, attacks. Put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control.
Like a tongue twister for a quick bit.
But then if you have the city's blessing, you put 2/1 counters on each creature instead. This is only in 13,000 EDH rec decks. I don't know why I don't have this in Hackball, because it should be in Hackball, because it's getting the 1/1 counters. Now we're doubling the 1/1, or not doubling, putting 2/1 counters on everything. It goes awesome in multi-creature, you know, big stomp, not stompy, meat force decks where you have a big wide, go wide deck, because you're getting all those counters put on it. It, at the very least, you're getting one counter, but you're going to have the city's blessing in those type of decks. So you're pumping everything by two. It's just, I feel like this should be in a lot more decks than 13,000, you know?
It's a nice little aggressive card. One question that popped into my head here, because I do like this, and this is something, how much is it? I want to say it's like a $4 card?
$8, $6.82. Yeah,
that's why I don't own it. I don't own this one yet. Because of the price, like this, I don't have anything that really wants this to be doing this, if that makes sense.
I get you. I think the reason why is because it's the, it came in the,
gift boxes or whatever.
Yeah. What is right there. It's actually that one right there that I'm pointing at. So it only came there. So you don't have it in the main deck. You don't have it anywhere else. I guess you could get it in the collector boosters as the search foil, so that is one other spot, but it wasn't a part of the main holiday set, you know. It was in the
I would guess that's probably the reason why it's not there. That would be my guess. But tangential question is, how much is the equip cost? How much does that play into you? Like, when does it start going, I don't like it? Is three that start, three?
Three starts to get me a little bit. That's why I kind of hesitated when I said it. I was like, three's a little bit. Two, one is perfect. Obviously, zero.
Fully agree.
But this being a two drop makes it more doable, because I'm like, okay, I drop it down for two on turn two or whatever. And then the next turn I'm able to equip it, you know, or even if it's mid game, that's five total. But like, so like, let's kind of sidetrack really quick. Helm of the Host. One of my favorite cards.
Right.
Card we could never remember the name of it for the longest time. Every time we were talking about
I'm glad you said it. I don't remember still.
But the thing about that card is that it costs so much to come down. I think it's five, and then it's five or four to attach, and that's the hard four.
I think
four.
It's four, yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking nine, because that card you almost want to attach at that turn because you want to get the advantage of getting another token of it.
Agreed.
So I end up not playing that card, even though it would go in almost every single deck, because why not have more of your commander? It's just that attach cost kind of gets a little too much for me. So three, I think, is where I start to go, okay, what does it cost to get out? So that's a good question, actually.
Because
where would your number be? About three as well?
I think it's three. I think I accept three. And then four, I start going, what's going on here?
Right.
Like, this better be damn good.
Right.
Because even going with kind of the pinnacle for me of questionably good, but I still love them. And everybody's going to be like, what do you mean questionably good? But the Swords of X and Y, I love them all. Mm-hmm. The three to come down, two to equip. And half the time, if it's top tier, like Ice and Fire, Feast and Famine, the Proliferate one, the Destroy an Artifact one, like those are really, really good. And generally it kind of has to be on theme a little bit too. Like, what do I need? Do I need some land untapping? But the worst ones can be really good, but they're not good enough still. And that's at five mana. Cause I look at it a little bit like, is this okay to just play on turn three and that's fine?
Mm-hmm.
Or this at turn two, you're going, yeah, this is fine at two. But then if you both of them work at five, and so you're going two down, three to equip, three down, two to equip. But
I think I like that, the swords.
Is that effect worth it? This effect is definitely worth it for five.
Right.
But if you have like, you know, one of the surveil and then cast a free instant or sorcery from your graveyard, the new one from March of the Machines.
Yeah.
Like, that one's maybe okay. Like, you have to be really heavy into instants and sorceries, right? Right. And so it has to be really on theme, and then you also have to be like, okay, is this actually going to be good enough? So I think it's an interesting spot. Like, five mana might be the deal.
Right. Well, here's a question for you really quick. Just with the swords, would you rather have the 2-drop and equip 3 or the 3-drop and equip 2? So would you rather have the swords way or 3 and 2? I agree.
I'd say the swords way.
Right. Because the thing is creatures get killed all the time with those swords, and being able to equip with the 2 and go, because moving it around all over the place, that's so nice. I'd much rather have the higher cost to come out and lower cost to equip and everything. So, Agreed. All right. Okay. So that is my second one. What is your next one on the list?
You know what? I didn't. Let's go with my second largest one. I just had something fall. Give me a second.
It wasn't all water, right. Was it?
What? It wasn't water. Thank God.
we'll talk about that a little later.
Right. Okay. I'm going to go with Strength Testing Hammer. This is strength. 1 mana to come down, 3 to equip.
Oh, I don't believe. Oh, there we go. Wow. You're talking about an Infinity card here. Yep.
I love this one, by the way. But
I don't even know what this one does.
Can you? I think you can get it with Urza Saga, but that's a terrible card. So
yeah, you definitely can.
But okay, so.
And it's rolling dice? What is going on, Larry? Right, are you okay?
It's wild, isn't it? But whenever an equipped creature attacks, roll a 6-sided dice. The creature gets plus X plus O until end of turn, where X is the result. Then if it has the greatest power, or is tied for the greatest power, you get to draw a card.
Oh, that is pretty sweet.
So either way, it's a nice big boost of probably, you know, 3 or 4. And then if it has the highest power, you're drawing a card.
Yeah, you're drawing. Yeah, I dig that. I didn't even know about this card.
See what I mean?
I like this one. I'm surprised it hasn't gone.
Just come up.
Like, I was going to say, because
go up.
Well, it says 55 cents.
All right,
but then it's $11 for the Galaxy Foil ones, I believe, is what it is.
Yeah.
And that's because of Mr. House from
the rolling dice from Fallout.
Because it's all built on that. Yeah. Because I looked at not equipment, but I came across Clown Car again. Mm-hmm. And that one has spiked because of that card,
for sure,
because that came out. So for I think this one's pretty sweet, actually. Getting a little boost, and it kind of fits in some of your rolling dice stuff.
Right. I mean, I don't care about that, but but it's like that bonus of being able to potentially draw a card, and it's relatively cheap. So you can
get it with Urza's Saga.
Get the fuck out. And so this is in 12,644 decks, which isn't really that a whole ton. And I think because it was in the Unfinity deck, that's probably what you're looking at there.
Yeah, I dig this one. I like it. Okay, my next one it's the second Lord of the Rings one. This one might hit the
anything from Lord of the Rings.
This is my last one of Lord of the Rings. And this one is we're borderline
this
on
this.
This
was one that was almost there, yeah.
So Nazgul Battle Mace. This is also in the art whatever piece of that, and it's which one is that? That one's that second one. So let's see if I can point at it right there. It's that one right there. So this is 5 to come out and a 3 to equip. Equip creature has Menace, Death Touch, Annihilator 1. And this is the key part of why. If it didn't have this part, I wouldn't have liked this as much. But whenever an opponent sacrifices a non-token permanent, put that onto the battlefield under your control unless that player pays 3 life. So we're talking fetches. Somebody's sacrificing that permanent to, you know, go get a land. You now have a fetch unless they want to pay 3 life. So they're paying 4 to go get a land. I don't think they're going to do that. So as long as it's not a token, any permanent will come back to your side. You have the Annihilator, so it has the built-in part on it. It's right. Giving your creature Death Touch and Menace, so it's evasiveness, you know, killing, all that stuff. There's a lot going on. And so that five drop and equip three kind of makes this one worth it. You know, you put it out that turn five or whatever, wait the next turn, put it on a creature. And now if anybody's doing sacrificing, or if this is in make people sacrifice deck kind of thing, if you're doing aristocrats, but not aristocrats, but
Turgrith,
if you're doing that
help.
Style, like,
so I'm glad that this was made.
Yeah. I like that you have Annihilate. Well, I mean, what was it? It that betrays where you take everybody's.
I did not know that Lord of the Rings had Eldrazi, but I think that's a pretty cool crossover.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of funny that the like, why is the Annihilator there? Just
because it's a badass mace. But I agree. This was probably my seventh on my list. That. So I agree. This is one that I have not played, and it is definitely like it's good enough at eight, right?
Right.
It there's that a betrays lot is a really, it. Really yep. good card at like 11 or 12. Turgrid is a stupid card at five, like way too good if you're into that kind of thing. And so this one I think is right there, and I think it's doing a really, really good job. I don't know why I haven't played it other than like maybe
it is another. It is a $5 card too, so I mean I don't know.
I have it as a surge foil because it's gorgeous.
Oh, and good. I got it.
Oh, it'd go good up, for right? you.
I also have it as a surge foil.
Yeah, it's right back at you.
Oh, good for you.
So it's a gorgeous card. It's really, really cool. I'm glad that you're talking about this one.
Yeah. So I what you're saying there is, I actually have copies from opening this as well, and those are sitting in the spec pile because I think this one will go up over time, especially because it's kind of fixated on Lord of the Rings. I don't think this will get reprinted again unless they tap Lord of the Rings again, which I don't think is going to happen. So Renshai is saying because of the Nazgul
just fucking swinging shit.
Yeah, so but yeah, okay. So that is my third one. What is your third one, Lowry? Your third equipment on the list.
Is it that one? Yes. Okay. Good luck spelling this, but Kusarigama.
Really quick, what I want to say. What Renshai is saying there, I think this would make more sense if this was Game of Thrones and this was the White Walkers with the mace. Because hear me out. Because when the White Walkers kill people or whatever, they turn them into the Whites. So they become, the sacrificed are becoming part of their army. Mm. That doesn't happen with the, I guess when the Nazgul, if he gets stabbed with the knife, but this is a mace. Anyways, right. I'm going to end up.
Okay, what was it? Kusarigama. K-U-S-A-R-I dash.
Okay, I can, there. Oh, dude, I almost put this. I like this one a lot too. Okay, go ahead. Tell me what the card is and I'll tell you which deck.
Three mana to come down, three to equip. You can pay two to give the creature +1/+0. So, this is from Kamigawa Original Champions. Whenever equipped. Sorry.
You get like we're both dealing with syrup. We're it's both dealing thick. With colds too at the thick. Same point.
Yeah. And snot, and it's great. But okay, so. Whenever equipped creature deals damage to a blocking creature, Kusarigama deals that much damage to each other creature defending player controls. And so...
it's a tad bit soft.
And so basically what it's saying is if you have a huge type of commander or creature deck and you're worried about them being chumped, you play Kusarigama in your deck. And if they do choose to block, it's going to wipe their deck. So if you're worried, like Ruhan the Fomori, which is a 7/7 for four, you slap this bad boy on it, you're wiping their board whenever they block. If you're in like a dragon deck, maybe, I don't know how good of a question that is. I ran this in my Zangief deck. Zergo Helm Smasher is great for this. But this goes in not every deck, but a handful of decks.
Loves this one.
Which one does?
Because Anzrag.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Yeah, that's what I have it in. It's like it just wipes their entire. You know, they block your. They're either forced to block it, And then it wipes out their creatures, and then you get an additional attack step. You know, it's just right. it's a stupid card. It's awesome. I like this
one. It's an awesome card, right? And so that's there. And this is in 5,482 decks only. That seems wild. Like, I named off we Anzrag, Zangief, Zergo Helm Smasher, and Ruhan of the Fomori. I think they're all fairly well-known decks.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that this isn't only 5,400 of them.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. No, Esteban, I did check my mic. I might tell me if it sounds good now, maybe. There's one other thing I can check. Oh, it looks good on our other stuff. So maybe I was just with the coffin and stuff like that. Yeah, no, I like this one a lot. Like I said, Anzrag likes this one. That's a good point with Blanca and all that stuff, because any type of decks where you're doing that, or even like basically Voltron decks,
right?
In a way,
very true.
You know, you're just putting this on your Voltron, you're adding it to the piece, and then they're going to want to block it because they don't want to die from the Voltron, you know, commander damage. And then you just wipe their board, and the next turn you win the game. So, right. Yeah, I like it. This was close. It's funny because I said, there's no way we're going to have overlap. And we both have had like cards where it's like,
really, really,
oh
close.
Shit, I almost put this on there. Like, this was almost on my five. Okay. All right. The next, is there anything else you want with this one? Nope. And this one's,
I think we're good.
It's only, you know, 370. It's really cheap. It's an old card.
Old card.
They only printed it once. So yeah, this one, if you don't have it in your arsenal or your toolbox, definitely get out there and get this one. So okay, my next one is not, it is not a Lord of the Rings card, but it is from a special set, and it's really recent. So but the thing is oh shit, I didn't realize it's a $17 card. Shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is it's a nice protection. I have all the decks. Oh, good for me. But I don't even know about this card. Thank you.
For you.
Because you know how bad I wanted to put Mithril Cult on here, because it's one of my favorite new equipments. Surprise protection. This one is just like it. Silver Shroud Costume. So it's a two drop equipment. It has flash, so it has that similar thing that we have with the Mithril Coat. But when it enters the battlefield, you attach it to target creature you control, so you don't have to pay the equip cost, and that creature gains Shroud until end of turn. So it's only temporary protection, but it is going to fizzle. It's too colorless. It's easy to come out. The equipping is nothing because it's just going right onto a creature. You're protecting something. And then it gives the creature, it can't be blocked. And it has the equip three later. But I just think this one, this is going to fit in a lot of my decks because, again, we don't play counter spells. We don't do that. I like playing spells like this that fizzles people's spot removal. And I'm definitely going to play this one quite a bit. And then the can't be blocked is nice. You know, yeah. I like that added on there as well.
Where do you think this compares to something like Mithril Coat?
Well, that's what I was saying. The Mithril.
But where do you think it compares there? Would you rather run the Indestructible all the time?
I'd rather have the Mithril.
Did you already say this? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. I would have liked to put Mithril Coat on here, but I didn't put it on here because it's in so many decks. This one's only in 7,000 at this point, but it only has been out for like a month at the most. And
6 weeks.
Yeah, so this one will get up there because, I mean, it's already a $17 card. But if you don't have it in your debt, or you don't have this, you're going to want to get a copy because I think this one, unless they reprint it at some point here, I think it's just going to continue to get up because, I mean, it has that protection, has the unblockability. I think this one's pretty sweet. So I didn't realize it was $17.
I dig it a lot. It's a good one. I agree.
Yeah.
All right, next,
your number
one,
four, how many or was your fourth
that
one?
That was 7,000. All right.
That was 7,000. Yep.
Mine is going to be Poet's Quill.
Poet's.
And you didn't even know it. All right.
Okay, from Strixhaven. All right.
One and a black. Equip for one and a black. When it ETBs, you learn which is discard a card and draw a card. The other part doesn't matter. And then equip creature gets +1/+1 and it has lifelink. One reason why I really like this one is that there aren't a ton of equipment that give just lifelink in general. And the ones that do are quite good. Like, you're basically talking about, like, Basilisk Caller, which is one of my favorite equipment out there. You're talking about the Elephant Hammer for 6 mana rather than 4. You're talking about Behemoth Sledge, which is 6 mana instead of 4. Like, it's expensive. Those are the 4 lifelink equipment with Poet's Quill. And Poet's Quill, it's not as good as Basilisk Caller, but if you're looking for an equipment with lifelink, this is probably the next best thing in my opinion when it comes to it's cheap enough. And it's only in 1,720 decks.
Oh man, yeah, that is super low on the deck.
And so if you're talking about the two hammers essentially being 6 mana come out equip, they give a little bit of a boost, like 2+2+3+0, trample, trample. This doesn't give you trample, but there are plenty of black cards that give, that like deal non-combat damage and you can still gain life off of. So like something that I was thinking about, I don't know if this actually is in there still, but Indoraptor, where you know, you're trying to do one damage to everything. And there's plenty of creatures that do that. You're gaining life of all the damage that's all being done.
Yeah. For sure.
And so if you can do that in a black or a red deck, you're doing great. Again, if you have a huge creature, something like Zangief, where you can, you know, you have to attack or are going to attack with it, you're going to gain 7 life on that swing. Like that's a good enough thing where if somebody wants to crack back at you, it's, you're going to be negating a lot of that life. And also in pretty much non-blue decks, like a discard and a draw really cheap for 2 mana is not bad either.
Right.
It's not amazing, but with everything there, I think it's a really, really good card, really underplayed at under 2,000 decks.
Yeah, that is super low. Can I? So you were mentioning the lifelink, so it made me think of, there was one that's on my list, but it's in 28,000 decks, but I don't see people playing this one a lot, and I do want to mention it really quick because of the lifelink, but have you played with Mask of Grizzlebrand at all?
Oh, I did forget about that one. I have not.
I think that one's pretty sweet too. Cause, well, let me pull that up. I got to remember exactly.
Right. I forgot about that one for sure.
Yeah. It was the second card I wrote down before. I was like, I don't know how many decks I'm going to try to keep it under. And then I came across, you know, I got everything under 20,000, but it does give the flying lifelink. But then when it dies, you can pay life and then you draw cards. I thought this one, but that's, this one's 6. You're dealing 3 and 3. So the other one, right, yours is 2 and 2 and 2, which is much nicer, easier to get out.
That's a pretty cool card too in itself, but I agree. It's at least being played a bunch. The decks where I've wanted to play Mask of Grizzlebrand, the creature either has flying or lifelink, so it feels like it's not doing enough in that case.
It's redundant. Yeah.
So like Alayla would love the card draw, but it already has flying and lifelink. So that part, like, I'm paying 6 mana to draw when it dies.
Right.
And that sounds not so good.
The nice thing is you can pay as much life as you want and you draw that many cards, which is pretty nice if you're in a life gain deck. So I think that'd be kind of cool. But I like this one because of the two and two, giving you 1+1 lifelink and a little bit of the, you know, draw discard stuff.
And I think if it didn't have the learn, like the discard draw part, I don't think this would be as good of a card. But especially in black, having just a discard outlet for any type of reanimation or, from 40K decks.
Actually, K1, that's my 6th card. Resurrection Orb was my 6th card. It's in 19,000 EDH rec decks. And that one, when a creature dies, it comes back at the end of play. It goes back into play, unattached, obviously, but it's a really good card. That was one of my cards. Like, if you had sniped one of mine, That was my 6th one. Yeah.
As K1's saying, like, it's 6 mana. So everything that we're talking about, you know, the two hammers are 6 mana. Mask is 6 mana. Resurrection Orb is 6 mana. Like, those are large investments and you're going like, I almost want to be a life gain deck in there, or needing to have one other of those effects to happen. So like either I need my creature to die, or in both the cases, you need your creatures to be dying, or else they're not really good cards. At that six mana. Here, just paying two mana to discard a card and draw a card really early game. Again, not amazing, but it's not awful if you know the payoff is a little bit of a boost with some lifelink later on as well.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. So, it's two to the Resurrection Orb is two to come out, but then the four to equip.
Yep.
And that's what the lifelink on
we were
there
talking
too,
about earlier. Like if this was three to equip, I probably don't have as big of an issue with it.
Right. Yep.
But that four mana is a lot.
That's a lot. Yep.
So
all right. Okay. So that's your fourth one. Okay. So then I will go to my last one, and this is my least amount of decks. It's in 3,000 EDH rec decks, and this is an old school one like yours. Yours was Champions of Kamigawa. Mine is as well, but it's Generals Kabuto. This is a four drop. So this is six we're investing here as well. But it's a four drop to come out, and it's equip two, which is nice. Mm-hmm. Equip creature can't be the target of spells or abilities, so it has Shroud. And then prevent all damage that would be dealt to equipped creatures. So the protection's nice, but the key part is getting that prevent all combat damage that would be dealt to the equipped creatures. So now, not only can it not be targeted, but now you're swinging in and you don't have to worry about yours dying, or you're blocking, you don't have to worry about yours dying, or, well, it's combat damage, so it will get hit by any of the Blasphemous Act stuff and all that, but it can't be targeted, which is really nice. I bought this to put in decks, and I think it is maybe in one deck, and then we just have had a bunch of other decks, other equipments, I should say, that have come out that I like better. Mm-hmm. This should be in my Anzrag deck, because Anzrag, I want to survive. The part that's hard is then I think the problem with this one is the Shroud. If it said Hexproof, I'd be in so many more decks. But that Shroud making it so that you can't target your own stuff makes it a little bit more difficult. But again, it's only in 3,000 EDH rec decks. This is only $5 card. You know, it's only been printed in Champions of Kamigawa. So this is an old-ass card.
It is.
But I think it's a great card for your arsenal, especially if you're trying to swing in with your commander and protect it at the same point. This is an all-star for that. So
I definitely can agree with that aspect. For some reason, for me, I always get it stuck in my head. I've had this thing for like a decade. And, oh, good for you.
Oh, yeah. Good for you!
But what I want to play it in is a deck where the commander has vigilance, where I want to be aggressive and also be able to block with it. It's just going to be able to like be a really awesome wall, but also like an aggressive wall. And so I just haven't run into the opportunity where that's going to work for me, where the creature already doesn't have going on.
Yeah.
And so it just hasn't fit anywhere for me forever, but it's a really cool card.
I don't remember what deck I even have it in at this point. It's somewhere, because I know I didn't make a proxy. That was before I was making proxies. I have a printed off copy of it, and the real ones in the safe. But I know it's somewhere in one of those decks. Right. It's probably in one that we made before, or I made before we even started doing the cast. So it's at least 6 years old at this point. So, okay. So that was my fifth one. That was my least amount of decks. Your next one is your least amount of decks. This one's only in the hundreds.
Yeah. Hundreds? So how many was Generals Kabuto in?
3,000.
3,000. That's respectable. Mine is
you're trying to beat me here, aren't you?
What? No, it's not trying. I am. It's happening. Manrique Gusari. We've talked about this one in the past. The first time I mentioned it, you're like, what?
Oh, yeah, this one. Okay. Yeah. Oh.
So this one's from Saviors, but it's two mana to come down, one to equip. Equip creature gets +1/+2 and has tap, destroy target equipment. It is the equipment to rule them all. No equipment beats this one because this destroys all of them.
I'm pretty sure. What? Yeah, here it is. Oh, nope, not that one. Oh, that's moved one. It was a
in the common tongue, it says one
spec
to rule them all.
No, I don't know if this is spec by any means. This is in 483 decks.
There's probably a reason for it. Just kidding.
You don't, so you don't like this at all? This doesn't intrigue you?
No,
anything?
No, because I think it is fine because everybody plays Lightning Greaves. Everybody has the boots. This is a good way to destroy that. You know, there is enough of those out there. There's always equipment. I would say it's very precise in that you're tapping to destroy an equipment,
right.
But there's enough of that out there that this is actually a viable thing to use. Like you're going to be able to destroy somebody's Lightning Greaves. Yeah. It's going to hit it. You know,
you're likely going to hit. And again, like the two mana to come out, one to equip is super cheap. Mm-hmm. And so think about,
I wish it was one and one so you could get it with Urza's Saga.
Okay. But. Yeah. Let's just make up cards here. I like the idea of it. Like one and two isn't huge, but it's something. Like again, if we were going to drop that, then I'd have to drop the two down to one. Like if it was one and one, equip, tap, destroy target equipment, I would agree with that.
One and one, you're saying? Tap one and then do it?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Just one to come out, one to equip, no power toughness boost.
Oh, gotcha. Just the tap?
Yeah. And and so there is enough equipment out there. You're probably, if one thing that we don't really play against is any like Voltron equipment decks, this would wreck that day, right?
Yeah.
Like every turn you're just tapping, destroying the best thing that came out. But generally you're going to hit like a Swiftfoot Boots or a Lightning Greaves and open up their protection. And or they're not playing
Shadow
it, which is fine as well.
Yeah. No, I think how I would probably assess this one is as you're a play group is the next time you're playing with your play group or whatever, just kind of keep an eye on how many equipment you see average in a game.
Yeah.
I think we see enough in our play group that I think this one is definitely a doable card in our group because I can just think of almost every game that there's an equipment out there. You know, I know I've said that I personally don't play with Greaves as much lately and Boots, but I know that almost everybody else's deck has at least both of those in there, if not one of them. You know, one, if not both of them in every single deck. So this is definitely, it seems so specific, and so it seems like it would be bad, and that's probably why it's in so little decks. But if you think about it, there's a lot of good equipment. And everybody's playing equipment out there, and this is just a really good removal. It's super cheap. Super cheap.
Right. I guess the other question that I have is, like, how many equipment would you feel like you're going to be able to get rid of to make this worth it? So if you get rid of one equipment, is this a good card? Questionable. If it gets rid of two, is a good card.
Yes. Yeah. The hard part for me is, I guess, at that point, would you just go artifact removal instead of this? You know what I'm saying? Because then you have more targets. Then you.
What about that power toughness boost, man? A 1-2? Come on.
1-2.
So, no, but I mean, see what you're saying.
I think with our play group, I think there's enough, and I'm going to actually, the next time we get together, I'm going to kind of keep an eye on that. I'm going to see how many do we see in an average game. I may even look at some of our older videos and be like, how many equipment actually just came out in that game? Because, you know, it's just, you don't pay attention to that. But when you're like thinking back on games, you see Lightning Greaves almost every freaking time. Like, it's always like, oh, we got to get rid of that Lightning Greaves so we can target their commander. We got to you know, so I think it's in every game. I think you're going to remove at least one to two equipments every game.
I do think it depends on how much you like running removal as well. Right. So like some decks where I'm only running Vandalblast and hoping to draw it, like I'm not going to be running Manrique Gusari. Like, but the other thought is like, if I'm running like a Seedborn Muse or something that untaps my creatures, I'm thinking about this more because I'm able to get more hits in if there's enough going on. I don't know how much of like that defense boost, like would I run this in a Doran the Siege Tower or the Arcades deck, like just for that little boost and a little bit of removal there? Probably not. But it's cheap. That's my biggest thing. It's cheap. It's equipment removal, which a lot of people run. It just depends on how much do you think you're going to be able to get with it? Because again, if you're just going to be able to get one with it, probably not worth it.
I probably wouldn't. Yeah.
If you're going to be able to get two, then sure. And the other problem is knowing if you drop this early, are they going to play their equipment?
Right. That's a good point.
And but keeping you're equipment off the field is not a bad thing either.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say you're hindering them from playing stuff. So
I thought it was an interesting one at 483 decks.
Yep. I think it's a good discussion. I won't play it, but I can see people playing it. Like I can see our people in our play group playing it because there's equipment out. I mean, it's really the Greaves you're always trying to hit. I guess my last point is like Greaves and boots are really the problem. You know, whenever you're talking about equipment,
well,
you're not normally. I mean, you will get swords and stuff in there, but really, it's always like. You need to remove those so we can remove the creature.
Skull clamp is a fucking problem.
But you know what I'm saying? But most of the time, Shadow Spear is really good. I get that all the time because of, hashtag.
Oh, Shadow Spear has resist for life. Too. All right. Yeah. That one's better than Poet's Quill. Well, that one's legitimately. Really good.
Shadow Spear is in so many of my decks because of Urza Saga, because I'm like, oh, okay, I can get. Shadow Spear, Urza Saga, or Shadow Spear.
But we don't use Sensei tutors. Top or,
it isn't a tutor. It's a freaking land. Stupid. It takes three turns for it to happen. It's, it's like I see you cough, then I have to cough.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, one last question on this. I know we're basically done. We have our numbers.
Yep, we stretched this to an hour. I was wrong.
We were wrong. Okay. From what I'm seeing,
smoker cough at this point.
All of these are basically in our first four groups of how you're building a deck when it comes to drawing, ramp, removal, or protection.
Yep.
Is that where you basically should be thinking about your equipment? Because that's where I think of it.
That's what that's the only what I use the equipment, unless it's fitting in. Get out of here, Renshai. Unless it fits in for a theme of what the deck is doing, most of my equipment is categories.
Like if we're talking about like Swords of X and Y, the ones that do one of those four things, removal, ramp, draw, or protection.
They're so much better.
So much better than the others. Like the mill and the token. It's good just in the mill deck and that's
right.
It. And it good in that mill deck? I don't know.
No, I don't have it in mine.
Right. I don't either. And so I think that's something that you should consider. There are definitely some equipment out there that are like tempting, but like, even if you're talking about like Eldrazi Conscription, to me, that's removal. That has Annihilator too. And when you're talking about your mace, that has Annihilator and Stealing. Let's go through it. Like right there, Strength of Testing Hammer has a potential to draw. Poet's Quill is probably the only one on this list that doesn't do those things in a general sense, but I do consider Lifelink a protection.
Unduriel is pumping my creatures. Nazgul removal. Silver Shroud costume is protection. General Kabuto's is protection. And Staff of Titania, whatever. Staff of T-Words is... ramp. Yep. So all but one of mine.
Anduril is the potential. And I would say that's in the weird spot of potentially being like a game ender. Like
it's super funny. I'm looking at, okay, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other ones too that I like, you know, they were 30,000 or less. So like Winged Boots protection, Mask of Gristlebrand draw and lifelink, whatever. Mm-hmm. I also got 10, Tanuki Transplanter, that is ramp because it's based on your power of your creature and you get that much. Whatever. Conqueror's Flail, kind of like protection. Umezawa's Jit, which is surprisingly only 27,000 EDH rec decks. But that's like a built-in removal and protection on one. And then the resurrection orb, which is completely protection. So yeah, all of anything that was on my list, like it fits into that one of those three categories that you were saying.
And so,
except for the one.
And if we went through like the EDH rec list, I'd bet you a large majority are within those first four categories of how I'm looking at our blueprint. Mm-hmm. You know, there are definitely some cards out there that are damn good. Cause like, if we're talking about the Shadow Spear, like to me, that's more of a, I like it for the trample and lifelink, but I'm playing that thing for removing
away their
indestructible,
their hexproof. Yep.
And so it's opening up the ability. It's removal for removal, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, because the nice thing about that card too is it doesn't have to be attached to the creature to be able to take advantage of that ability.
So, but essentially, all I'm trying to say is if your equipment is there just to make your creatures bigger, I would avoid that. And I generally, like, there are plenty of cards that do that as well. If it's not a game ender, like a Cradlehoof Behemoth or some type of overrun effect, you probably shouldn't be running it. You should really, really back off on it.
Yep.
Good point. Again, good point. There are reasons why you have it indexed. I'm not going to go into every detail for whatever reason, but the thought is equipment are utility cards to me.
Yep.
And when it comes to what you're doing with the utility card is something within those first four aspects of deck building that we've talked about. Protection, removal, draw, ramp. And so that was just my thought a little bit. And so and that's where I would put Anduril in that potentially. You know, I'm not going to put Anduril in a deck that has four or five creatures out. I want tokens. Mm. I want 5 to 10. You know what I mean? You want to put pressure on the board, and that's what you're doing with it. And Poet's Quill is there for just cheap lifelink. And I guess that does have the discard draw part.
There's a little bit of draw. Yeah
so I guess that does have that there. I kind of forgot about that for a second. And so I'm going to count it. So 9 out of 10... are within those first four aspects of building your deck.
Well,
for us personally.
Wouldn't it be 8 out of 10? Because this one, I mean, I guess it's removal.
Yeah,
it's
removal.
In a way.
What do you mean? It's definitely removal. You don't play this if you don't think you can remove stuff, you don't play this.
Yeah, right. That's exactly it.
Right.
If there's not enough equipment cards out there, people aren't playing enough equipment. Yeah, definitely don't do this one, so. All right. Well, we went an hour just with the equipment stuff. So now we have to, yay us.
Look at us.
We have to talk about stuff and things and do some tags. And I don't even know how we do this in the middle. We can jump over to, let's go to our
website. So I got a text from our cousin Jesse down in Lincoln. He says that he's all good and stuff like that. But there was
tornadoes?
A ton of tornadoes down in Nebraska. Hopefully everybody's able to be safe and you're all good down there. Really sucks to hear about all that shit down there. Like, it was a wild weekend, wasn't it, for weather?
Yeah, it was crazy.
So glad to hear he's good. Hopefully everybody out there is good
too. How did you do with your wild water weather while you were building?
Yeah. Because at the beginning I was going, devastation of my decks, and I was like, that's a little overplaying my hand here with this weekend. So I was doing Riku, and I spilled a fucking Nalgene of water on the entire deck.
I don't mean to laugh, but I laughed every time I watched.
You made a short of it.
I made a short of it, so you guys can check it out. It's just so you know, Sarah McLachlan music when he spills the water. And it's fantastic. With that, it's not fantastic. The thing is you had some proxies mixed in there, but you had a lot of the normal, like your regular cards.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Because that's how you build the decks, is you have them in hand and you go through the cards. That's part of the building process of what you do. So what is, how did everything shake out? Not very good, I'm guessing, on some of that stuff.
Here's what the proxies look like.
Oh.
These things look fucking... That's my Birds of Paradise, if you can see it. It's fucking washed out. This thing, it's garbage. I didn't try and do anything with these, though. I just looked at them, and they're fucking garbage. And then there was some commons away. And uncommons. I'd say the only ones that really got fucked was, like, I got a full art Jessica's Will that looks like it's like $30-35. That's probably fucked. I definitely have some damage to good cards, but they're not like completely fucked. Like I have a foil sort of frontier, Forge and Frontier that got a little bit of damage. I got a spot on my one of the, I think it's Soul Ring of the Wormhole Soul Ring, the one with the
galaxy foil.
Yeah, so a little dot on that. My Viren got fucked, but that just got reprinted. So, but right now they're sitting in a book with a ton of books on top of them, and hoping there's a lot of curvature.
Sydney said the same thing that wrench. I just said, did you try putting your cards in rice?
It's not a cell phone.
And that's
I thought about it. That was my first thought. Was rice? Yeah, no, I need to be able to try and flatten it.
At least you didn't have your duels in there. Like the duels, sure. Like I'm glad that you don't play with the, like those are in a binder, right? You don't have those in a deck.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Right. But
I was going to get angry. I was going to get angry at you.
I was thinking about it. Like the Dr. Madison Lee deck, that has some fucking expensive reserve list cards in it. Cause you don't, I think it's Transmute Artifact. That's like a $400-$500 card. And there's no,
but that didn't get hit, right?
What's that?
That didn't get hit, right? That's a different deck. You weren't building that.
No, I wasn't. That's what I was just saying. Like, okay. You know, 2.5 weeks later, I lucked out. It still damaged like 80 cards. 10 got scot free somehow. The double sleeve. I had a couple that had the perfect fits on them.
So wait, walk us through really quick. So you, this is how I saw it. You go, hold on a second, and you mute the mic. And so then about 3 seconds later, again, people listening or whatever watching, you can check out the video. It's on our shorts. All of a sudden you just see this water come across and it just, it splooges the whole thing.
It lands right on the pack of cards.
And then your hand comes in, you pull them off, and then shortly after the video just ends. Was there a lot of swearing and stuff happening at that point? Like, I'm going to keep going? No, fuck this. I'm ending this video right now.
No, it was, I basically, because we're both a little sick. So I muted it to take a drink, blow my nose. And so I took my drink, set it down, and went to go get my tissue and came back and knocked it over.
Oh, fuck.
And I went, fuck. Fuck. And then basically went away. And then I was like, goodbye. And then turned it off. But it was all muted. I didn't even know.
It was all muted.
And so that was, it was unlucky. I almost always, you know what I mean? My Nalgene. It's closed. I always close it for that reason because of when I spilt the beer. Was it basically 2 years ago?
Yeah, that one was.
And so once I did that, I was like, okay, well, I need something with a cap around here. And so I always consciously like closed it. And so I just got really, really unlucky. It was a bummer. So.
You and pickle juice and water and just
that's right.
Your cards can't be around you. You're dangerous.
That's true.
True. So all right. Well, that check out that video. It's pretty pretty. Check out the you building the deck. I'm sure you weren't done at that point. So are you gonna tap back on that one? Is that what you're gonna try to hit?
I've gone on Moxfield. Like everything's still like flattening out, drying like. So I'm just, the deck on Moxfield is close. I'm working on it still just on Moxfield.
Okay.
And so we'll just, if you want to go check out the deck, Riku of Many Paths, it's over there on Moxfield for the 7th time that I said that. I also plan on doing the new Gonti deck. It just depends on if my Card Kingdom order comes in before Wednesday. And if it does, I'll do it Thursday night. If not, we'll see. Just keep an eye out for it. Just stealing decks and stuff like that.
So if we see a video of you opening Card Kingdom, that means that you're probably going to be able to do the spotlight. Speaking of videos and stuff from last week, we do have a lot of them that went out. So we had Lowry's spotlight. You had Lowry opening up the secret lair. You had two of them that you did, Ravina Kai and one of the Fallouts. I got my big order on, what was it, Wednesday or Thursday. Open that up. I ended up getting a Mana Vault. Oh, good for it. I'll hit it. Nope, I'm not even on the right. You got to hit it. I can't hit
it. Sorry, what am I? I wasn't paying attention to you again.
Yeah, that so one? I got.
Oh, no.
No.
That one.
Was, oh, good for you. There we go. Yeah. So I ended up getting, I ordered a shit ton of the Fallout because I had a bunch of dollar to duels and specs, and I opened up only one out of, like, I think it was 28 different Fallout ones. So the odds of getting it are very low. And that's why it's going for about $1,000 on eBay at this point.
Sell it.
And I last time I checked, I'm sell going it. Back and forth with it. I know I'd want to, but the thing is I would want to sell it. But the thing is I don't think it's going to go down in price. I think it's that rare of getting one of those that I think it's only going to go up. So I don't know. So, and then I also did I have a collection. You can kind of see it. It's right behind me, right over there. It's one of my tattoo artist's collection. This is the second time he's dropped off his stuff, and I went through it. The video's not interesting until the second half. Like, the first half is a lot of garbage. And then the second half was his baby, like his decks, his rat decks, his squirrel decks. That's when I started seeing some of the good stuff. I'm actually going to probably do one more video on only the good stuff that came out of it. So that was kind of interesting there. And then I also have a Card Kingdom one that's coming this week, hopefully this week. So I'll do an opening of that as well. And then was there anything else? Oh, proxies tomorrow. So the new proxies, which will be the other five surveil lands, will hit tomorrow. Along with my boys, they did two more cards that were, one is Anointed Procession, and the other one is, shoot, what is it? Oh, it's Necromancy. That's right. We did Necromancy. So that video will hit tomorrow. Those are videos you guys can check out this week. I'm going to just do our tags really quick. You guys can become a patron. You guys can support the Commander Smiths. You can support us in four different ways. You can support us by becoming a patron. $1 a month gets you in the Discord. You can chat with us there. $5 or more, you start getting proxies. Like the prize that is going to be coming up here, which is, this is one of the surveil lands there. So that is a proxy, foil proxy. Yeah. So that is one of our patron perks there. So you can get those each month if you so choose. Another way to support the Commander Smiths is to donate when we're live here. You see, we have the Malorto meter. We don't know what we're doing yet with the next drink. We're trying to make it so what, that last one was bad. That was bad. That was bad as in, like, so much prep for it. And it just
a lot of stuff.
So we're trying to figure out a better way to do that. But
you can always donate towards it to just
and
get to it easier the next time.
Get to it, right. Because every $100 we hit, we have to take that drink. It's not a shot now. And as long as it's before Stump the Smith Savant, we will make that drink and do that. Another way to support us is to actually go out the Commander Smith store here. So CommanderSmiths.com, we have the t-shirts, we have the playmat. You can see there's the playmat there. Sexy Lowry with his heart, hairy chest there. We have the t-shirts. Oh, look at that.
Fluffing.
We're both wearing our t-shirts at this moment. Fluffin'. So you can get both of these t-shirts on the store.
I didn't mean fluffing, but...
We got metal tokens and then also the Yetis. These are actual Yetis that are all on there. So you guys can check out that. That is, you're getting Smith swag, but then also supporting us. And then the last way to support us is just make sure you guys jump on YouTube. Make sure you like this video. Make sure you watch our stuff on there. Like, that helps us more than you know. Even just if you have a choice of watching the podcast or listening to the podcast, if you can watch it on YouTube, that helps us out. So that's all the tag stuff. You can follow us on X. You can follow us on Insta. You can follow us on, what else were we on? There's something else.
TikTok.
That might not exist very much longer, but we'll see what happens with that. So that's the tags and stuff. You can also shoot us an email at commandersmiths@gmail.com. I do want to go over our poll from last week. We did talk about the commander decks, and we had 160 people vote on this. So this is a pretty good tally here. The most popular deck that people wanted to buy was the Quick Draw deck.
I'm kind of surprised.
46. I am too, actually. I would have thought Most Wanted maybe was going to be the most popular, but that was the least popular, 10% of the votes. Second was Grand Larceny, which we thought was probably the worst out of the decks. And then Desert Bloom was... Did we think Grand Larceny was the worst out of the decks?
Yeah,
I don't know.
There was no value in there.
Yeah. And then Desert Bloom was in third.
Every single card from the deck other that wasn't new. So...
Yeah, so... So yeah, that is the poll from last week. Thank you guys for voting there. All right, now we are done with all that stuff. We are sitting pretty. Let's get to our little stumpy here.
All right.
All right, I might as well hit. Let's get to that. You get the one where you don't know the name. So here we go. It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
I know what it is. I just don't know the name.
Last week you didn't like not know the name. It just you kind of knew the card, didn't you?
No.
If I remember
I had no idea. I was guessing.
That one was gone. That wasn't that one. All right. If you guys don't know how this game works. I'm going to read the flavor text of a card, and Larry's going to try to guess the card by asking yes or no questions. Every yes, you'll hear this.
Hello, boobies.
Every no, I'll hear this.
Wrong, 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 wrong.
He will get up to 5 wrong guesses before he is considered stumped. He gets up to 3 clues. If he can get everything about the card but can't get what the card name is, he will get the initials. If he still has a clue left over, he will get a bonus clue that should help him figure out what the card is. The card has to be in at least 10,000 EDH rec decks. And what else? Oh, we have Matt Heinzman is our stumper for this week. And we are giving away the foil proxy of, what is it? It is Shadow Backstreet. So this is that art from, what was that? The Phyrexia, whatchamacallit, last year. March from the Sheen basics. So it's a little mix of that. So you'll be seeing those. The next 5 are hitting tomorrow. So I got 10,000. Oh, Lowry, your record is 87-29. So this is now round 29, week 1. Every 3 weeks, we add a card. So the first week is proxy, foil proxy, or the first 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, we will add another card to it. Not a proxy. It'll be an actual card. Make sure you guys, if you want to enter, shoot me a direct message if you're part of the Discord or email us at commandersmiths@gmail.com. I have eliminated the chat. Chat can play along and see if you can get it before Lowry. And here we go. This is a long one here, so bear with me. And I didn't even pre-read this one, so this is going to be on the fly. The so-called barbarians will not respect us for our military might. They will respect us for our honor. What is it? Lou Clyde Fick Stotter, leader of the Order of the White Shield.
Can't even read. There we go.
Lucille. It's amazing. I don't know. It's a dude.
Is it? All right.
I don't know if it is or not.
All right. Fick Stotter, Eric Stotter. We know that this is essentially like, Ice Age or Time Spiral or any time that they've kind of visited that. Leader of the Order of the White Shield. That could be Cold Snap. So we are talking Dominaria. The so-called barbarians will not respect us for our military might. They will respect us for our honor. It's a... I know it's in that realm right there. What else? So I think Ice Age, Alliances, Fallen Empire? I'm not sure about the Fallen Empire, but it's either that or Cold Snap or Time Spiral. That's likely what's going on. I also think that this is probably a creature. So let's go with, is this a permanent card?
Wrong, 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 wrong.
I'm a terrible guesser. Go through all this explanation, what I think, da 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 da. I just don't listen to myself. I think that's my problem. All right, so this is a non-permanent spell, which makes it an instant or sorcery. When they're talking about barbarians, they're likely talking green-red. And also there is respect us for our honor. I'll take the first clue, please.
The art features a dove sword. The art features a dove sword.
All right. Ice Age?
Hello, boobies. All
right. Swords to Plowshare.
God damn it.
Cha-ching! Hello, boobies.
Damn it. Oh, the thing is I had in the thing, if you were on track, I was going to say a dove weapon, but then I was like, he's a little bit lost at this point. So yeah. And then Wrench, I just got it at the same point there. If I said anything with dove, you would have got it right. I mean, at that
likely
I was trying to make it all tricky. Like the text features, I flipped it around to, I was like life gain and removal instead of removal and life gain. And then, you know how many decks this is in?
100+ thousand.
1.1 million.
Shut up. What?
That's what I'm saying. The new stats of how they do it, it's 1.1 million decks. It's most seen in Shorokai decks and first printed in Alpha. Although, if you were on track, I was going to say, not when it was first printed, I was going to say it's an 81 different decks, or it's been printed 81 different times.
What? It's been an 81 different printings?
But that adds in, like, foil and non-foil. Okay. So not just, I didn't count them all up.
That's
I didn't want to go through 81 amount of them. Yeah. So this isn't a lot of things. So, what gave it away? The dove sword? I mean, that was the other thing is I said sword and swords to plowshares in the name.
No, I had a feeling that it, you know, I had a feeling it was white. I felt like they were talking about red, green. And white shield, Order of the White Shield is a white card, but that doesn't always mean
right
that it's going to be a white card. You know, they could be talking about whatever barbarians they're talking about type thing. So it could have been a red, green card. But once you said, once I asked if it was a permanent card and I was wrong, and I know the card, I have it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I have this version. It's one of my favorite arts. It's gorgeous. Yeah. And so like Renshai, like he's better at this than me. He has better taste in art than I do, but, we're both on the same page here. And so I don't know what you could have done with the art, even though you normally talk about the art, like,
yeah, I don't know. I was almost just going to like, not even like just say there's doves and a woman. That's maybe what I should have done, but you probably still would have got it. Cause it's doves.
Yeah. It would have been pretty tough. Cause this is pretty strong art for me. So
yeah,
it was going to be tough. I was like, sorry, Matt, I got you, bud.
If our main segment was short, I was like, you're going to get this really damn quick. I mean, it's old school.
That's why you're protecting in that realm. But it's just a regular episode.
Regular episode. All right. I'm going to draw the name for next week. We got Ted.
There we go.
Ted is our.
Ted's still here.
Ted Snyder.
Bring it.
He's probably not here. He got to work in the morning and everything with the kids and stuff. But Ted is our stumper for next week. So congrats, Ted. All right. So I think that's it for this week. So again, we got a lot of stuff going this week. So make sure you guys check out our stuff on YouTube. So if you haven't subscribed there, make sure you do, because watch out for the videos that are coming. That should do it for this week. We will catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Bye.
See ya.
I love boobs. I'm talking tatas. I love boobs. I'm bonkers for honkers. I love boobs. Thanks for the memories. I love boobs.
And, oh, I forgot to thank everybody. Whatever.
Thanks, everybody.
Out.